To the Real Presence, Real Future podcast, a podcast dedicated to increasing the presence of Christ throughout the diocese. I'm Father Mike Harchi. I'm with Father Schalk again. Father Schalk, thanks again for taking the time to be with me.
Absolutely. My pleasure as always.
Can you start us off for a prayer for mission renewal?
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we are unsettled, provide peace. When we are timid, make us courageous. With our ears, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel. And with our hands, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm, so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks, Father Schalk. So here we are with... We're kind of going through now a lot of this feedback, the feedback survey. So we're recording this middle June. The survey's open for until the end of June, June 30th. But we've gotten like 6,000 responses so far. We've gotten just great, you know, response and feedback from the second round models, which we expected, you know, because they were very provocative and they really kind of moved us, moved us along. We're looking at now some questions and or some comments from like Two Central and specifically parishes where they're over under your like vicariate region. So some of those would be in this group like St. James the Less, St. Peter, Parroquia Santa Cruz. So, for instance, as we're looking at what people from St. James the Less are saying, one of the comments was, this proposed model makes more sense than any of the other models, and it allows the closure of other surplus facilities, resulting in a cost savings to the diocese. So this is what this person is saying as far as an answer to what are the strongest aspects about this proposed model. Is this a cost savings to the diocese if we were to close or merge a parish?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that that was mentioned, because really the financial piece is not a major driver mm-hmm. in our discernment. So you know that, I know that, but it's good to dispel that myth that, okay, what are we going to do to save the most money?
Right.
Or those sort of financial resources.
So what's some of the stuff we're saying, how much money do we have to raise to keep our church open? Yeah. You know, we hear that a lot too. And it's neither of those cases. Like the finances are a part of it. Is it going to save the diocese though any money?
No.
Right. I mean, unless the diocese is supporting a parish, which we have that in certain cases, and we got to look very, you know, diligently at that. I mean, if a parish is really being supported by the diocese to the tune of really any amount of money, but $50,000, a couple hundred thousand dollars, then we got to look seriously at the viability of that parish. But I wanted to address that, because this is not ultimately going to— we're not doing this to save the diocese money.
No, at the end of the day, we're talking about evangelization. We're talking about building the kingdom of God with the resources that we have at our disposal.
Yeah.
So obviously the most important resource in all this equation is, well, we have fewer priests now than we did before. And we unfortunately didn't ordain any priests this year. So that just highlights the fact that, well, with fewer number of priests, how do we staff, how do we bring sacramental life into these parish communities in the best, most effective way possible for the building up of the kingdom of God?
Right. And okay, and fewer priests, but also fewer people in the pews.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some very large churches with a lot of masses, and so are our masses at capacity, you know, what's the percentage and all that. So we're kind of, you know, looking at that, especially if priests, after this, priests are still going to have to go from church to church. you know, there's going to be priests who pastor, you know, maybe it's one parish, but multiple churches. So that's just going to be a reality. But when you said about priest resources too, so again, someone from St. James the Less said, we have precious blood priests here who speak Spanish. They're able to say the mass and help Latinos.
That's wonderful. The vicar for Hispanic ministry, I know that St. James is doing amazing things for the English speakers there and also for the Spanish speakers. So this multilingual model is very, very attractive to me, at least personally, because I can see they have their doors wide open. They have a vibrant parish, also a vibrant school. So this is a place where people can encounter Christ. This is a place where they can deepen their faith. And so I'm really happy with the wonderful work that's taking place there at St. James the Less. And frankly, I think that if other parishes in that area are merged with St. James the Less, they're going to have the right attitude, the right openness. The doors are already open for everybody. So that's really what we want to foster.
So St. James the Less is a thriving multilingual parish right now.
That's correct.
Thriving parish, thriving school, right? Led by the Precious Blood Father. So like they're doing great work. And there's no doubt about that. Now, let's contrast that with, we got another thriving multilingual parish on the northwest side, St. Peter's. So in that case, we were recommending St. Peter's merge. Our recommendation was merge with St. Michael's because what people said in the first round, it's not the only option. They can merge with Joan of Arc. If St. James the Less is so thriving and multilingual, we're recommending other parishes merge with them and they stay open. We're recommending something different for St. Peter's. What's the difference?
Well, I think one of the major factors in this particular model, which may not be the best solution.
May not be.
This is just one proposal. The major issue is that people are saying, well, the parishes around us, if we have to merge to a neighboring parish, that they might not have their doors wide open.
There's a little concern of that, sure.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So we have to be very, very conscientious of, well, what is our responsibility to, if a parish next to me, if a parish next to my parish is going to merge with mine, how do we welcome them? Right. How do we, especially if it's multilingual.
Right.
Yep. But, I mean, you asked, what is the difference? Well, really the difference is the proximity. Mm-hmm. The difference is there's a school at St. Michael. But yes, I mean, I've had many, many conversations with the folks at St. Peter and, okay, well, what are we doing well? And how could we share that with a neighboring parish? And how do we continue to thrive as we discern this moving forward?
So one of these comments from a St. Peter parishioner, I do believe consolidation is important for struggling schools. However, I think merging back with St. Michael's is not a positive thing. St. Joan of Arc does not seem to be accepting of the multilingual Catholics with different demographics. We see this from, I don't know, you know, who wrote that, if it was an Anglo or a Hispanic. It's a common theme. It's a common fear. Is what I've been hearing, I know it's what you've been hearing as you kind of share from your town halls that you've been at. That is something that we want to really, you know, recognize that this is a concern for people and you know, help these parishes, you know, whatever happened, help them be very, very welcoming. You know, someone else says most of the parishioners would go to St. Joan of Arc, myself included. So if they're saying that now, so now that we've kind of like named names in this second round, whereas the first round is like, okay, you can go here, be grouped with these places. We made a decision out of that for the second round. Now people are saying, well, this is really where I would go. I'd probably live closer to St. Joan of Arc. That's very helpful to us. And just to kind of see that, because like, again, it's not the diocese getting a bunch of money. The resources are going to stay with the, you know, the people. So we just want to, you know, acknowledge that and try to make the right decision.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so grateful for this consultative process. What are the fears? What are the concerns so that we can address them now? But I mean, so that we can incorporate this into our discernment. Yes. So this is a, if you're going to ask any parish to merge, well, it's going to be difficult But we're confident in the Lord's providence. We're confident in the discernment. The Holy Spirit is for sure involved in this process from, well, it has been since the beginning.
And he is, because we are including, you know, everyone, like not, you know, the Holy Spirit, where we want to include the whole, you know, body of Christ. And so I'm encouraged by it. So one other comment here from somebody from St. Peter. So what's strongest about this model? And they say, try to include everyone's thoughts. For me, the strongest aspect of this proposal is that it's a collaborative effort, not just the clergy making all this the decisions without consulting the laity.
Yeah,
and we truly are consulting. I mean, that's the reason why we got CLI, this big consultative, you know, nonprofit organization, to help us gather all this feedback so we can sit here and read it.
Yeah, and it is a lot of effort, a lot of work to pour over these comments and to really take to heart, okay, this is constructive criticism that maybe we had not thought of. So this is, I don't know, I applaud you, kudos to you, Father Harchi, for really going through these comments with a fine-tooth comb and working with CLI. And I know I'm part of the team as well, going through my particular vicariate, and a lot of really helpful comments.
Yeah, it is. It is. And again, it's like you said, so we can take constructive criticism. So again, this person here from group two St. Peter's here. I understand the need to be proactive in planning. Not sure I could come up with a better plan. Just disappointed with the current recommendations. You know, if this goes through, I'm most likely to change to St. Joan of Arc. So yeah, people acknowledging the disappointment, the difficulty with this, and we can fully acknowledge along with a comment like that. We're not saying this is the best proposal, the second round, you know, recommendation, but getting something out there, getting out there for comment, allowing people to you know, to give us their thoughts and you know, truly be consultative with them. So we can continue to look forward to the rest of the comments that are going to pour in until the end of June, so we can read it over and help us in, you know, inform our whatever the third round recommendations would be with from the commission from this. So thanks for your time today, and I look forward to continuing the discussion in the future.
Love that. Thank you, Father Harchi. Persevere.